ho, it's that time of year again to celebrate our Japanese superheroes. At least what we can remember. What was this show even about? It's time for Ho Ho Tokusatsu. Everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, and I am Drew, here to henshin into a Klaus Ranger, but I need my character whose name I can't remember because I'm not sure when we watched the show if we were even introduced to that character at the time.
What's up, Blaze?
Miles, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than I was last week. Still under the weather, but I can at least talk now.
Yeah.
That's a plus. And getting into, I gotta say, the holiday spirit, especially like this past week, I've been, you know, watching some of the specials. I've been watching some of the movies, wrapping gifts, like really kind of embracing, you know, as I know a lot of people kind of started early this year because, well, look around us. But I really don't go full whole hog into the season until post Thanksgiving. And really, I'm not a stickler, but it just ends up, especially since Thanksgiving was so late this year, like around the first week of December is when I'm starting to kind of get in the mood.
Okay, I'm the same way. I think it's because I enjoy Thanksgiving as a holiday. And also my family, like Thanksgiving is, we host Thanksgiving in our house. So mm-hmm. It's kind of our holiday. And so when it's kind of swept under the rug for the sake of the Christmas shopping season starting October 31st, I don't know. There's something about it that bugs me that it starts too early, because I feel like
I agree. Now I will buy gifts, you know, at early sometimes just to get ahead of everything, but that's different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited to be like watching these specials and you know, watching, of course, all of the usual suspects, or some of the usual suspects, and then my own mix of Christmas oddities here and there. and speaking of that, that is what this month is all about, because we have two Tokusatsu Christmas episodes to experience this week.
Yeah.
Including a franchise we hadn't covered last week. And I was initially going to just make this about Super Sentai, and then when we decided that we wanted to do stuff that we had done before, I opened the floor to Kamen Rider and Ultraman. Now, Ultraman fans, I have not really done a ton of research into the Christmas episodes, and the ones that I have found, I think were from shows that we didn't cover. And Drew and I went back and forth a lot about this because we were given a lot of really cool looking episodes to watch as suggestions. But after watching this week's episodes, I feel pretty good standing firm in that we probably shouldn't cover anything that we haven't seen, because even having some context was still, I still felt like a fish out of water. Kakuranger Ranger wasn't back, so we had just recently watched it. But watching Kamen Rider X8, I was like, what is happening again?
So let's start with Kamen Rider X8. Because Kamen Rider X8 was an interesting experience, and it's something that I've noticed, at least with last week's episode for the Super Sentai show and this week's Super Sentai show, Gokaiger's Christmas episode was like episode 45. Kakuranger, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, it was episode 45 of Kakuranger.
Spoiler warning, the Sentai we cover next week is also episode 45.
Yeah. And surely this is because of just general scheduling for how they space these shows out, so that you have like one show on at a time, especially in more recent eras.
I would imagine it's structured kind of like us, where you have certain shows that like follow a normal season. Like you have this show runs from September to you know, mid-December, and then starts back whenever, you know, in the same fashion.
I will say, with 50 episode series, which they still seem to be doing for Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, it's more that they just start staggered because they will be running the entire
time. I just meant that they probably have like a set time that Sentai starts every year.
Well, and Super Sentai probably starts at the beginning of the year, and Kamen Rider probably starts in the fall, based on the fact that Kamen Rider X-Aid's Christmas special targeting the Silver Christmas is the 12th episode of the show. And you may wonder, oh, it's only episode 12. What could, how weird could that possibly have been? Well, we only watched two episodes of Kamen Rider X-Aid. I think it was two, because that was what was available at the time.
And I was also, we watched these, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, and spoiler warning, I remember very little about this show.
So I did at first, and as the show went forward, I definitely remembered more and more from what we watched. It didn't really help because we watched two episodes and then jumped ahead to episode 12, which doesn't sound like I should, you know, for a show like this. But Kamen Rider is, I think, a lot more like serialized in the way it does its story. So like there were characters we hadn't met yet. I do remember what we had been, you know, hinted at this dark character, but we didn't have a full on meeting.
And in the, apparently in episode 11, they revealed who that character was, which is like, oh, okay. But it's mostly that, and again, this is because this is episode 12, they're really still building out the story of the show. So yeah. The Christmas aspect of it, and we're going to focus mostly on the Christmas aspect of it because the rest of it is really just a Kamen Rider X-Aid episode. It's like this episode is 50% Christmas and 50% normal episode because they're still introducing characters. This episode is the first introduction of two characters who will be featured in the rest of the series. And, you know, we don't know who they are. we probably won't unless we get back to X-Aid at some point. But let's talk about the Kamen Rider X-Aid. Just a reminder of what this show is. Because this is the video game themed, but also doctor themed Kamen Rider show. Our main character, Emu, is an intern, a physician intern who is also a big video gamer, and he turns into a Kamen Rider to fight bugsters. And bugsters are causing some sort of weird virus that's also spread by stress. Yeah. But this is the one where his first transformation in every episode is as this weird, super deformed, blocky version of the character.
I have forgotten about that. It's the one aspect of the show that I just don't love. Like, yeah. it looks cool in some aspects, but like, as soon as I see an actual writer form, I'm like, okay, now we're talking. I don't care how dumb he looks, but now we're talking.
Yeah, it is. And Miles and I were talking off air about how this is, you know, this is one of the shows of the era, which I guess they're still doing now, that has the excited announcer voice anytime something happens. And
I love it.
Love it. We were both critical of it at first, but it's grown on us to the point where I really, really like it.
I do too.
It was probably King Oger that really sold me on the voice, and now I'm like back and I'm into it the entire time. Although Gaim, when we watched,
I got into the Gaim too. But yeah, I agree with you. This episode's weird because, so it kind of begins like, again, Kamen Rider is super serialized. It almost feels like a soap opera because even as the credits are rolling, you're still watching actual episode. So I feel like you get a Christmas special kind of wedged in the middle of this episode of everything else going on.
Yeah. And the Christmas episode, the Christmas part of it itself, which is what I really want to focus on, is you have this kid and he's got a broken leg. I didn't know he had a broken leg until halfway through the episode, but he has a broken leg.
I think this kid keeps popping up, if I'm not mistaken. I think we had a kid involved in the first couple episodes, too.
Well, because these are kids that have the bugster virus. And so this particular kid is Shuhei, who I think is only in this episode.
Oh, is he?
Oh no, he is. He's the first episode he's in is Who is the Black Kamen Rider, which is episode 11. So the episode before this episode is this kid is introduced.
Okay.
And so he has broken his leg, which again, that was probably in the episode we didn't watch, but excuse me. but he's got a broken leg and he's got this bugster that's sort of manifesting. And the one thing we learn about this kid is that he says he hates cake. He hates cake. Flash forward a little bit. We learn that his mother and father are bakers at a patisserie. And
yeah,
the Christmas
and
season,
this is the busiest time of year for them,
and the Christmas season is their busiest time of year. So not only does he hate cake, but he hates Christmas because that's what takes mom and dad away from spending time with him, which I get.
It's a good basis for a Christmas story. I wish this kind of was the entire episode, because like there's a lot you can milk from this.
Yeah. But again, Kamen Rider X8 is video game themed, and the way that this manifests into Christmas here is that when the bugster, that the monster of the episode manifests, its name is Salty, and he says things like he's going to salt you up, and he's going to salt you. He never says he's going to assault you, but I think that's only because this is Japanese and that joke wouldn't make sense.
I think that It makes sense that he's assault themed because the parents make sweets.
Yes, exactly. Which is a good counterpoint. But as the Kamen Riders are fighting the Salty Bugster, they get power.
That just sounds like some sort of weird gangster name. The Salty Bugster.
Yeah, see? Go down to the docks, meet my friend the Salty Bugster.
Yeah. Or it's like some sort of like club on a dock for sure.
Go see my guy, the Salty Bugster. Knock three times, then tell him you hate cake.
Tell him Bugsy sent you.
But so they're fighting, and in the middle of them fighting, all of a sudden these power ups show up. And if you've played an online game, specifically a free-to-play game or a gacha game, or a lot of the games that, you know, were popular back in 2016 when this episode came out and are still popular today.
Or Genshin, you know?
Genshin. Any live service game has limited time Christmas-themed things.
Hey, it's the dawning right now, baby.
It's the dawning in Destiny. And so they, as they're fighting these chicken head, you know, grunt guys, these Christmas power-ups start popping up. And then all of a sudden, they're now Santa Claus-themed and Christmas-themed as they're fighting around, which is very funny and it's very cute. And
I mean, obviously, that was one of my prerequisites for a superhero episode is I want like a Christmas transformation. And I very much, very much appreciated this, especially one being super confused about their Christmas transformation.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
And then we get the remix of Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Thanks
so,
to Poppy.
Again, the character Poppy Popo, which is a character that she herself is, I think she herself is a bugster. I can't remember the thing about her.
Yeah, she is like a sentient bugster, I think.
Something like
of
that.
Of some sort.
But she's also like this weird kind of pop singer thing. And she starts singing a Christmas-themed version of Jingle Bells, just using the syllables P-Po-Pa. And it's really strange. And
I very much enjoyed that.
But Miles, do you want to know what my favorite thing about this entire episode is?
Was it the zombie rider?
No, it wasn't the zombie rider. Though that was cool.
Very cool.
We'll talk a little bit about the rest of the story. But my favorite part of this is that the mom and the son, after the bugster manifests and the Kamen Rider start fighting, she suddenly has a cake available for the kid, and they have this like, oh, surely you mean that you love cake because you love us, right? And he's like, yes, of course I do, Mom. Because we figured out that he broke his leg trying to climb this tree in order to make a like this
little wreath
with holly in it for Mom and Dad. It's all very sweet. But after all of this, the Kamen Riders are still fighting the bad guys. And it just flashes over to this mom and son sitting on the ground with a cake between them, just confusedly looking at the battle going on. they're just like, what is happening here? And it's so funny to me because nothing else is going on. It is a big wide open space. It's basically the parking lot of the mom and dad's bakery that they're doing this whole fight in. And they're just there sitting on the grass in front of a parking space while these Kamen Riders are fighting these dudes with turkeys on their heads and this guy that keeps saying, I'm gonna salt you up. And they're just like, huh? And of course, the Kamen Riders win the fight and they destroy Salty. R.I.P. Salty Buckster. And then Poppy's just scream singing at them this Jingle Bell song. It's like, what is happening in this episode? It's so weird.
It is one of the things about the frenetic energy of this show and I think we talked about it when we covered it, where it's like, I could see people being turned off by this show because I know this show, maybe, I don't know if it's divisive. I know this show is popular. But I know it was like, oh, Kamen Rider is getting more Sentai-like. It's getting a lot weirder. And I'm like, it's getting weirder. I don't know if it's getting more Sentai-like because the modern Sentai we watched, sure, some of it gets in that direction, but some of it goes very, very left field. I think that, yeah, it's one of those things like if you're already in the show, this kind of energy is not going to be that random and weird by episode 12. And especially for this character. However, still having not watched it for a year and a half, it was very, what is happening? Because I feel like all the elements we get, all the stuff that we're talking about takes place in like 15 minutes. And 15 minutes like in the middle of a 22-minute show.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's not the opening and it's not the closing. This all happens in the middle of this show where you get this like Christmas special that's in between like bookends of a Kamen Rider story.
So the start of this episode, the very opening moments, is we figure out that this evil version of Kamen Rider X-Aid, this dark X-Aid, is actually this game company CEO. And then the closing moments of this episode is that guy killing another character.
Yeah.
But in between it is the confused mom and son watching the Kamen Riders save Christmas.
and so I do want to say this about this episode, though, like about the Christmas aspect of it. Had that 15 minutes been the entire 24, I think you have a really solid Christmas episode. I think the story itself about the mom and the kids is great. It's a standard Christmas episode in terms of like American Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
I would have changed some of the energy, specifically, yes, the mom and the son being very confused about what is happening in front of them. I like the Christmas transformation. I think they're cool. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. And it's something I always look for. However, because you just get this kind of abridged Christmas story in the middle of a Kamen Rider episode, it does take away some of the magic of the Christmas episode-ness about it for me.
Yeah. And because it feels tacked on because of the time of year when they're trying to tell this other very serious, important for the plot story, because it's episode 12. And we know that we knew that there were 10 games that he had to clear that he has cleared as of the last episode.
Yeah.
And so we're at a point where it's like, okay, we've crossed the first major story hurdle. We are 1/5 of the way through the show. Oh, but it's Christmas. We got to do a Christmas episode. But we got to kill this guy.
You know what? Wasn't there an episode? I think I criticized Macross for doing something similar. Wasn't there an episode where, like, there's kind of a celebratory episode in between, like, or like right after, like, a really serious moment and it felt kind of out of character?
Well,
Like, isn't there something that's kind of silly after the pineapple salad episode or something?
It's not that it's silly. It's that so. Spoiler warnings for Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, a show from 1982
that we've covered in depth on the show.
Grant, every episode of this show is somebody's first episode.
Fair enough. If you have not listened to our Super Dimensional Macross masterpieces, skip ahead 45 seconds.
But two major characters' deaths happen with, I believe, one episode in between. And I believe the middle episode, so Roy dies. And then Kakizaki dies. And I believe the episode in between them is Hikaru having a weird dream sequence the entire episode in his hospital bed.
That sounds right. I knew there was something kind of weird that happens in between like two very serious episodes. And I was like, what was that?
Yeah, it's because he was like, he was questioning himself because he was not part. He had been shot down. And so he was.
I remember that. Yeah,
he was. Hikaru was in that hospital bed for like five episodes, it felt like, and half of his friends died. It's like, dang, dude, sorry.
Yeah, oops.
But yeah, but to go back to Kamen Rider X8, I don't think that this is it's only weird because it's so early in the show. It's also hilarious that when this character dies, the cartoon Kamen Rider voice yells out, "Game over!"
Yeah, this is something we talked about before we started recording, because you would think that it would be like, you know, a more ominous, like, "Game over." But no, it is this jubilant exclamation that sounds like it should be like a heralding someone's arrival. And nope, sad scene as this guy is fading away into nothingness.
He's literally like turning into little pixels as the pixels float up into the sky and he turns black and gray. Game over. Love it. Absolutely love it.
It is very silly. I do like this episode. I think the Christmas parts of it are good, but it feels very incomplete in that respect. It certainly doesn't hit all of the marks. I do think it actually does a better job than I really had initially anticipated, because that 15 minutes does contain all of the trappings of a decent Christmas episode. It's just that should have been the entire episode.
For sure. All right. Let's move on to Miles. You asked.
I knew when we announced this that this was going to be for you.
You specifically asked me last week what I was looking for in one of these tokusatsu Christmas episodes. And I don't remember specifically what I said, but I believe I intimated that I wanted the sum of the typical trappings of Christmas, but with just a weird Japanese spin on things.
Boy, howdy, is that what you got?
And let's go to Ninja Sentai Kakuranger, episode 45, The Hasty Santa.
So immediately I'm already feeling at home, because we are back in like late 80s, early 90s Super Sentai. And I just love the look and feel of those shows so much.
And we loved Kakuranger specifically. We did. It was one of my favorites of the Super Sentai shows that we covered.
It's great. But
to remind folks, Kakuranger is the first ninja themed Super Sentai show where they are ninjas, and they're all descendants of famous historical, sometimes fictional Japanese ninjas.
And it's also, and they fight yokai,
and with the enemies are all yokai, sort of Japanese evil spirits. But there are some notable differences, because again, we watched the first three episodes of Kakuranger, and we are now at episode 45. So we now have we no longer have the old Japanese comedian doing the introductions to every episode. We still have little vignettes introducing what the yokai are. And in this case, it was Omukade, who is a centipede monster. But another thing we have is we have actually the big bad of Kaku Ranger that we were, that was referenced in the old days, but not the first three episodes that we watched, but what did not make an appearance because he at the time was sealed away. And I don't remember what his name was. I believe he's Master Vile in Power Rangers.
He is Master Vile.
But I don't remember what his name is in the show. Oh boy. Yeah, feel free to fill some time while I look this up, Miles. That's cool.
Oh no, I love Dead Air. Honestly, no, Master Vile is actually a major, major part of the comic book. I mean, it's a major part of Power Rangers, but when they put out the Boom comics, Master Vile was kind of supposed to be like the big, big bag, like the, kind of like the darkness at the end of the Buffy series, like, or the first evil. Like, he's supposed to be like the thing that people have been trying to keep out of our dimension for millennia, even before the Power Rangers were even formed in this universe. So he does have a massive, massive kind of impact on Power Rangers stuff, at least it, more recently. He was a part of the Mighty Morphin era, but also he was in Zeo and in Space.
Yeah, he's just Daimao, which translates to Great Demon King. He also name checks Satan a lot, so you know he's cool. But yeah,
of course.
So let's talk about the Hasty Santa, because boy, this episode, this is a freaking Christmas episode of a Super Sentai show, Miles. Let's go.
It is. It is wild. I can't. Yeah, let's get into this.
So we open with a child asleep in his bed, and as a mysterious person clad in red tiptoes through his room until they've tripped on the cat, causing the cat to roar and the kid to flip out. Oh no, thief, as this tiny person in red runs out, and randomly the Kaku Rangers hear all of this and they go to stop this child who claims to
isn't that kid like one of their buddies?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know, because they run the crepe shop out of the cat bus, so I don't know what the deal with that kid is.
Yeah, you're right. I you know what, they get involved with so many damn children and their problems.
Oh my, for a Super Sentai show.
I know, but like it's just like, oh, like gosh, it was the first instance where we had like the sister that was super mean to her little brother.
In the
last episodes that we watched, there was a very similar situation, but we had harkened back to Kaga Ranger because of that episode that we watched for Notice Me Sentai.
Yeah. So, as it turns out, this kid, though he claims to be, and they don't really believe him for a while, but they eventually do.
To be fair, they shouldn't.
I'm going to call him by the name they call him in Japanese and not the name that it translates to, because I think it's cuter. The sort of guest character is Chibi Santa, which
Chibi Santa,
I love it,
which is Little Santa.
It's just Little Santa. He claims to be the son of Santa. And that's going to become more confusing as we continue on in this episode.
Yes.
But while he's explaining, oh, he's trying to learn how to be a Santa, so that, and oh, but it's only the 23rd. He's a few days early. Oh no, I screwed that up too.
Which I was like, huh? Like, this is your whole deal, bruh.
He was just making mistakes. He's learning. He's learning, you know, it's okay. But Chibi Santa proves that he's Chibi Santa by pulling out all these presents that he has for this boy. And as they open the presents, a bunch of centipedes pop out and just start attacking kids, and like puts this kid into a coma, and would have put the rest of the family into the coma without the Kaku Rangers throwing ninja stars at these centipedes, which was, by the way,
awesome,
super dope.
And done in that great fashion where, like, you see the cut happen, and then the ninja stars are just there.
Yeah.
In like, I love it so much.
You hear the.
Yeah.
It's great. Love it. I love the ninja stuff in this show, and it's good. The ninja stuff in this show only gets better. Okay, so, as they figure out what's going on, and they realize that all the presents are messed up, Chibi Santa tries to get them to, oh, we got to go to Santa's car to destroy the rest of these presents, or to stop these presents from getting out. And it's like, wait, that's like a minivan. What's going on?
A minivan with antlers.
A minivan with antlers. Good Lord. I love it. To which Chibi Santa replies, even Santa has modernized.
Honestly, great answer. I very much loved that.
Love it. But this is where we meet the big bad, the yokai of the episode, Omukade, who is a
football themed bad guy.
Centipede monster wearing an American football costume that regularly kicks a spiked football at them. And his costume just right on the breastplate says legs, which I guess now that I'm talking, I made fun of that in my head, and now I'm realizing, oh, he's a centipede. Of course, he's a centipede, legs.
Yeah.
So, again,
I was a fan because I'm always a fan of these weird, like, because obviously in Power Rangers, Rita would often or Zed really would point at like household objects or whatever and then turn them into a monster, or take inspiration from something and create like the pumpkin wrapper that Finster would have created. So like, I love seeing like, oh, we would have absolutely used this guy in some sort of sports themed episode of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Had we had it.
And I have to say, and I know I called this out when we covered Cocker Ranger in Notice Me Sentai, the yokai often speak in English. And I wondered if that was just a couple of yokai at the beginning. No, here we are in episode 45, and this yokai is continuing to say English phrases all the time.
I feel like they mentioned something in passing when we watched it. I just don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
About it.
Don't remember.
Because remember, though, I think it's the Black Ranger is supposed to be an American.
Yeah, Jiraiya, both the actor and the character are American, and he says English sentences all the time.
All the time.
Which weirdly, his English sentences sound like somebody trying to say a sentence in English, despite the fact that this guy, I think, was born in California. It's funny. Anyway, so they fight the centipede dude, and they realize, and the centipede dude just takes the car and leaves. It's like, uh-oh, we've got to go back to what was, they didn't call it Santa Land. What do they call it?
Santa's Castle.
Well, I know they go to Santa's Castle, but it was like they needed to go to, you know, a Santa place. And so, of course, because the Cocker Rangers have a flying bus, the cat bus, they just fly to Santa's Castle. Now, we are never shown where Santa's Castle is, but it does appear to be in the middle of a bunch of snowy mountains. There's just there's suddenly a bunch of sand and
trees
and trees and a Victorian mansion.
I loved all of this. I thought I the way I just laughed, and I was like, no, this is perfect.
When they are panning over all of this, which, by the way, not an elf in sight, just a bunch of dudes in Santa
dressed
suits
as Santa. It's
with
so good.
Fake beards, and you know
it's
they're
so
fake,
good.
And you know they're fake beards because we meet the real Santa later, and he's got a real beard, but everybody else has bad fake beards.
The impression that we get is that
because they're showing the walls of Santa's castle. They're showing a Santa rock band. They're showing a bunch of Santas practicing and training. It's like if Santa's castle was the island from Enter the Dragon, but they were all Santas. Up to and including a pan up to a tower that features a Santa standing guard with a pole arm. And it was in that moment that I realized this episode is exactly what I want out of a Super Sentai Christmas episode.
Yeah, so this episode has such a weird energy, and it's not an uncommon one, because so this past weekend I watched a number of the Rankin Bass Christmas specials, had them on while I was making dinner and doing some household stuff. Because I'm not the biggest fan of all the Rankin Bass specials, but they're classics. And they all have this, I mean, honestly, have kind of a chaotic, weird, we kind of want energy. From Frosty to Rudolph to the Year Without a Santa Claus, a lot of them have a very, very strange, and like, this is the start of this Christmas tradition with this weird freaking special. And it has the exact same energy as those specials. It really does. It feels like I'm like, oh, if there was a Japanese special at this time that Rankin Bass for some reason is just doing a Japanese special, it would be this episode.
Yeah.
100%.
And so after all of this, because they need to get Chibi Santa in to see the big man, they got to see the elder. The Cocker Rangers have to ninja sneak in to Santa's castle. And this, again, I love the ninja stuff they do in this show. They're like sneaking around. They're doing a thing where they throw the grappling hook up, and they're all wearing their like ninja garb, and they're like, ha 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 ha, as they're climbing up the walls real fast, and they're sneaking in. And I'm doing all this stuff for the camera. You guys can't see it. Miles can see it, but like, they're sneaking past walls, and it's all very like stereotypical ninja.
I need you guys to know that he is hunched over and doing a sneaking motion with a little like rascal face on him right now. Because like, y'all can't see this, but I just need to know that, I need y'all to know that that's exactly what Drew was doing.
I put everything on the line for podcasting. and so they're doing all this stuff, and they're trying to sneak in, but oh no, one of the Santas has captured them, and suddenly a team of security Santas with pole arms is there, and they're standing guard, and a fight breaks out. And ha ha ha, and then they're running, and then there is this wall of Santas that are coming down this staircase, and suddenly there is a sound effect, and you see Santa costumes flying in the air, and all of a sudden the fight stopped because they can't find the Cocker Rangers anywhere, and we get five characters mugging to the camera that we are supposed to know. These are the Cocker Rangers.
These are the Cocker Rangers
dressed as Santas suddenly. It's beautiful, Miles. I love everything about
it's so here is a problem that I personally have with this episode. Not really this episode. It's more of a problem. A difference I have coming from Power Rangers to Super Sentai. In every season of the Power Rangers are these superheroes. Everyone knows who they are. Everyone knows they're the good guys in most seasons. In Super Sentai, that's not often the case. And a lot of times people don't even know what the Rangers are. And I take that for granted, because I'm like, if anyone should be allowed in, it should be the Cocker Rangers, right? We've gone through 44 prior episodes of them saving the world.
Well, we do
learn. Spanish, you know.
We do learn why this is the case later.
Yes.
So, the Cocker Rangers are now dressed in their Santa costumes, and they're sneaking around Santa's castle, and they're seeing just a couple of Santas, you know, enjoying dinner while watching the Santa Rock Band, which is literally just a Santa on guitar and a Santa on drums. Those are the only two people in the Santa Rock Band.
It's the Candy Cane Stripes.
They're watching a bunch of Santas watching a TV show that is the Cocker Rangers doing Santa moves as Santa Sentai Klaus Ranger,
which I am upset is not an actual thing.
Me too. I wanted that to be the final transformation that they do to beat the bad guy in the episode, but it's not, and it drives me crazy.
It's the one flaw I have with this episode.
I will agree with that flaw. And then we finally come across actual Santa, and you can tell he's actual Santa because he's got a real beard and he's drinking. He has a full bottle of wine on ice that he is sipping from.
Which is like, I get they're not always using, you know, the Western stuff, but come on, man, eggnog's right there, bro.
I don't know that it is. I don't know that it is. And then we get sort of this idea that, oh my gosh, Santa, who is now suddenly interrupting the Klaus Ranger showing, is he the bad guy in this? As he ignores the warnings that people are trying to tell him and orders all of the Santas to start going out. Because again, this is another spin. Santa Claus himself doesn't deliver all these presents. Every one of the, like, second-rate Santas that we see in Santa's castle goes out on their own to deliver presents in one of their own Santa minivans. And they have this escalator that they're going up, and it's so weird and so 1994 Japan. I love it so much. It's so weird. But luckily, Chibi Santa stops them by proving to them that all of the presents have these evil centipedes in them, and then getting hit by one of the evil centipedes himself. And, oh no, speak to me, Chibi Santa, which is, I just love that line so much. It made me laugh very much. But now, of course, the Cocker Rangers have the Santas on their side. We learn that, oh no, Santa himself, is he the bad guy? They're about to fight Santa, and they do fight Santa for a second, and then they see that Santa himself also has one of these centipede marks. So he's not evil himself. He's just being controlled by the Omikade, to which they then go and fight. And Ninja Man is there, and we hadn't seen Ninja Man. He was not introduced by the time that we watched.
I thought he was.
Not in three episodes.
Wasn't he what put everything together?
No, that was the dude on the cloud.
Oh, well, isn't he on the cloud?
Hard truth, don't remember.
I legit don't remember.
Don't remember. Doesn't really matter.
He's Ninjor to me.
Well, but Ninjor and Ninja Man are very different characters.
Very, very different characters. I do love that the entire time Ninja Man is like just stoked to get a present. And you're right, he doesn't appear until episode 36. So I don't know who I'm thinking of. But yeah, the entire time he is like just gooning on getting a present.
And he's teaming up with he's teaming up with the because the plan of the yokai is that they're going to trap the Cocker Rangers in Santa's castle evil controlled Santa is sending everybody out 3 hours early to start delivering presents, and therefore the Cocker Rangers will have no way to get away from Santa's castle in order to stop the yokai plot. All of this is beautiful plotting. Mwah. Love it. They've thought of everything.
Yes.
Except that the cat bus is in on the game and throws Ninja Man and the evil Santa Claus that was controlling everything, and is also, by the way, the same Santa Claus that captured the Cocker Rangers to begin with at the beginning of the episode. Turns out that's Omikade, and then they fight. And then I don't remember, Miles, did the Cocker Rangers use the Ninja Ball? Go Ranger, kick the ball back and forth between every person, and then kick the final one to destroy the monster in the episodes that we watched.
I don't remember either. I know one show did it, but I think that was Go Kaiger that we saw.
Go
that
Kaiger
in.
Definitely did it. Obviously, it's a Go Ranger reference, which is the
right.
You know, that was their sort of final attack. I do not remember. I feel like one other show did it, but I don't remember if it was Cocker Ranger or not.
It could have been Jetman.
I don't remember. I know Go Kaiger definitely did it.
Yes.
But yeah. And of course they use that and they defeat the bad guy, and it's awesome. And this episode ruled. I love this episode so much.
No, I mean, my only complaint is that there is not a Christmas transformation. There's not a Christmas Zord. There's not a, or a, you know, Mecha. There's not a Christmas like suit. And it's the only thing that's like making this not be a perfect thing. Like I said to Drew before we, like right before we started recording, that you take the one element from Kamen Rider X-Aid and you put it in the Cocker Ranger episode and you have a perfect Toku Christmas episode. I agree. I mean, I had a blast with the Gokaiger episode last week. And I just think this is so much fun. This is exactly, I think you're right. This is the kind of energy I want from a Christmas special. I really want that Christmas transformation, man. I really do.
Look, I know. And the Christmas transformation in Gokaiger was great, but I'll take the Cocker Rangers sneaking in to Santa's castle.
It does
dressed
so
as
much
Santa's.
Well.
It's
the difference between like a 9.5 and a 10. Like
I hate that we have more episodes to record because I loved this so much and I'm not sure anything's gonna beat this for me. It was so good.
it's a great special. And luckily, Cocker Ranger is a show that you can watch on Tubi fully legally, fully in HD, on American streaming stuff. So if you like what you hear, you can pop on there. Yeah, it's got ads, but you can watch it for free. It's episode 45. And yeah, I would highly recommend you add it to your Christmas rotation.
And if you're brave enough to browse for it, you might not have any ads.
Wink. Yeah, of course. Of course. Which is how I watched it. But still.
I hate to move on from this, but I feel like I'm going to repeat myself too much talking about.
I will say the one cool thing is, you know how I mentioned, you know, it has that Rankin Bass feel, but there's also like a traditional Christmas feel about it. Like there, this episode like assumes that you know what Santa is and all of this stuff, and even though it has its own interpretation of like where Santa lives and everything, it fully works within the frame of what you know Christmas to be. There is no explaining Christmas in this episode. There is no, you know, oh, this is what we do over here. Like, it fully feels like just a weird Christmas special. And I think that is what Drew and I appreciate so much about it, is that it full on just feels like a whole hog Christmas special. And I think that is freaking awesome.
But with that just slight twist of,
oh yeah, it's got its own identity. I'm just saying it's got the vibe of a Christmas special.
It's not what we know as Christmas, but it's almost there. But it's just that slight twist on things with Santa's castle and all the other Santas. And just, I loved this episode.
It's great.
Miles, bring on next week because I got to know what we're doing next.
All right. So next week we are, we're splitting our time again, between two different shows. Let me make sure I got. Yeah. And once again, we are going to do a Kamen Rider show and a Super Sentai show. So we are going to watch episode. Make sure I've got the right number here. Episode 11 of Kamen Rider Gaim, which, of course, is a personal favorite of mine. The show, not the episode, called The Truth Behind the Christmas Game. As well as, oh, look at that. I picked another show that I absolutely love. Episode 45 of Kaiju Sentai Lupin Ranger versus Kisatsu Sentai Pet Ranger. Looking forward to Christmas. These are both shows that you will have to Google and do a little searching to watch because they are not easily available on any streaming service, sadly.
Yeah, come on. Get on
Tokushoutsu.
Get on Tokushoutsu. Get on everybody else's level.
Yeah, the Kamen Rider's getting more and more on here, and then the Modern Super Sentai. I don't know what's going to happen.
Why is Ultraman the most available in the U.S.?
It's wild. It has everything to do with Tsuburaya.
I'm sure.
Tsuburaya Productions. They market, and they license. They are not precious about it, and I love them for it. I mean, it's been more recent, but like almost everything's available or you can easily get.
So with that said, gang, next week we go back to Kamen Rider Gaim and Lupin Ranger versus Pot Ranger. But sadly, this is where we end our episode tonight. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do so in a number of ways. You can go to themoreyounerd.com and find this and every other episode going back 13 years. Good Lord, we've been doing this so long. You can also go to facebook.com/themoreyounerd. You can go to Blue Sky at themoreyounerd and smile at us. That's a song reference.
And
if you would like, you can go to cosmiccrit.com. Now, what is cosmiccrit.com? Cosmic Crit is
I have no idea.
Show that Miles and I are also on with all of our friends, where we play the Starfinder tabletop role-playing game with our buddies. Starfinder by Paizo, same people who make Pathfinder. It's like D&D, but in space, and it's super cool. You can find that at cosmiccrit.com. And if you go to cosmiccrit.com, in the upper right-hand corner, there is a link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. You can click on that link, and you can join that Discord, and you can talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So with that said, gang, we're going to end the show now, as we always do, with a rousing nerd out.
Two nerd for y'all.